In Hey Pasuk Chav Tes, it says, when Yitzchak Avinu died, it says, Vayigva Yitzchak, Vayamos, Vayasef Alamav. It says, Vayigva, and he perished. Vayamos, and he died. Vayasef Alamav, he was gathered to his nation. That's by Yitzchak. By Avramino, it says, Vayigva Vayamos. It says in Perek Chav Hey Pasuk Chav, it says, Vayigva Vayamos. Doesn't say Vayasef Alamav. Interesting reason why. He wasn't buried with his fathers. That's why Yasef Alamav, he couldn't be buried with his fathers. By Yishmael Chophe Yud Zayin, it says, Vayigva, Vayomos, Vayasef Alamav. Every time it says the word Vayigva, it's followed by the word Vayomos. That he died. So Vayigva doesn't really mean perish. Okay, that's that. This week's parsha, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. By Yechal Yaakov, Zav Zizbonov. Yaakov, you know, finished commanding his children. By Yasef Rakhul Amita, and he put his feet back onto the bed. By Yigva, and he perished. By Yosef El Amov, and he was gathered unto his nation. It does not say the word by Yamos, says Rashi. There's no Misa here, because Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes. Yaakov Avinu never died. So what's pshat, guys? How do we understand this? Gemara in Tainus, Hayom and Beis. Rav Nachman invites Rav Yitzchak over for a suda. He tells him, Rav Yitzchak, please tell us over something. Rav Nachman is the host. He tells Rav Yitzchak, say over a Dvar Torah. I want to hear a Dvar Torah from you. Rav Yitzchak says, we don't talk during the suda. So after the suda ended, he said, so new, give us a Dvar Torah. He said, Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes. Yaakov Avinu never died. Said Rav Nachman, what are you, joking? What, do you think it was for no reason that they eulogized him, that they embalmed him, that they made him like a mummy, and then they buried him in Maris Machpelah? That's ridiculous. Of course he died. So Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra Ani Darish. He answers cryptically. He doesn't answer the questions. He says, Mikra Ani Darish. I'm darshaning a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'atol tirav Yaakov Numa Hashem. V'al teichos Yisrael kinyom Moshiach mirachayik. V'esarachami al shema'im me'eretz shivyom. Don't worry, Yaakov. I'm going to take your children out of captivity. Says the Gemara, like his kids, just like they're alive, just like the children of Yaakovinu are alive, so too Yaakovinu is alive. So Yaakovinu lo meis. The questions are obvious. I'm going to give you six. Number one, what does Vayigva mean if it doesn't mean death? If you're going to write the word Vayamos anyway, then what does the word Vayigva mean? And he perished, as our scroll said? Lingered? Yeah. Not according to our scroll. Maybe according to some other thing. Vayigva doesn't really... Expired. Expired, even better. What does that have to do with it? Death? What's the difference between that and death? Number one. Number two, what would be the point of Yaakov being alive if he was buried? Wouldn't that be the ultimate punishment? Don't worry, Yaakov, you're burying alive. No, no, let me out. That would be the worst punishment ever. What would be the point of having Yaakov, you know, alive if he's not around? If he's not walking around, if he's not with us? What in the world does that mean? Number three, four times in this parsha mentions the word Misa by Yaakov. Ready? Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Chav Tes by Yikvo Yimei Yisrael, Lamus. Yaakov was about to die. Melchatz Chav Aleph, Hine Anochi Meis. I am dying, says Yaakov. Nun Tesva Vayiru Achi Yosef Ki Meis Aviyam. The brothers of Yosef saw that their father had died. Tes Zayin Avichot Siva Lifnei Moso Lemor. Your father commanded before his death, saying. Four times it mentions the word Misa by Yaakov. That's a problem. I bet he said he didn't die. Number four, he commands him two times to bury him. Why would he command him to bury him if he wasn't going to die? Number five, Rav Nachman was correct. Those were great questions. Rav Yitzchak never answered the questions. Why would they say he never died? Why would you even have such a Havamina if they clearly embalmed him and they buried him? Why would you say that he didn't die? Rav Yitzchak said, I'm darshaning a pasuk. Well, because you're darshaning a pasuk that gets to take away from the pasuk shot and the pasukim over here in Parshas Vayechi. How does that take away? The questions remain unanswered. Number six, why does Rashi put Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes over here? If they're not darshaning it from this pasuk, the fact that it doesn't say Vayamos, so where does Rashi get that from? So that's easy enough. Rashi and Tainus over there in Hamma Bay says, Chai Hu Liolam. Yaakov Avinu will live forever. He will live forever. Even though they buried him, listen to this Rashi, Kisvurin Hayu Shemes. They thought he died. It's pretty crazy. They thought he died, but he never really died. Never really died. Who would argue on Rashi? Who's the guy who's going to argue? Tosfos, right? Guess what the Tosafos commentary says? V'chein mashma. Yeah, it's mashma the Yaakov Avinu never died, because the Gemara in Sota Yud Gimel on the Beis. What does the Gemara in Sota Yud Gimel on the Beis say? It says when Esav came to complain about Maris HaMachpelah and said, I want to have that burial spot, I don't want to give it to Yaakov Avinu, don't let Yaakov be buried there, I want to be buried there. What happened? Naphtali said, no, we have a star that says that you sold it to Yaakov Avinu. Said Esav, show me that star. Naphtali, the quick-footed, runs back to Mitzrayim to go get the star. Meanwhile, Hushim ben Dun, who is deaf, didn't know know what was going on. He turns to Yehuda and he says, what's going on here? Yehuda says, oh, that guy, he's delaying everything. He's causing all these problems. Chush Ben Adam takes out his sword, decapitates Esav. He said, now there's no problems. Esav's head rolls into Maris Machpelah. Yaakov, you know, opens up his eyes and smiles. Dead people don't open up their eyes and smile. They may frown. They don't smile. So what's pshat? Says Tosfos, it must mean that Yaakovinu lo meis. Yaakovinu never died. That's the idea behind it. And also because it doesn't say the word Vayamas. Says Tosfos, because it doesn't say the word Vayamas. That's the idea behind it. There are some answers. I'm going to give you three different types of answers. Answer number one is going to be that Yaakovinu really did die. However, his soul never died. Here's the idea. Marsha, in the back of the Gemara, Tanya Tehama Bey says, Rav Nachman assumed that Rav Yitzchak, when he had made the original statement, meant that Yaakovinu never died, period. Meaning his body never died. That's what Rav Nachman thought Rav Yitzchak was trying to say. And he immediately said, what? Yaakovinu never died in his body? How could that be? But they buried him, they embalmed him, they did all this stuff to him, they eulogized him. How could that be if he never really died? Said Rav Yitzchak, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that he didn't die physically. He died physically. But his soul never died. Said Rav Nachman. Nobody's soul dies. Tzaddikim, their souls are always alive. Why would you think any differently? Said Rav Yitzchak, that's the pasuk that I'm darshaning. Because this pasuk is darshaned by Yaakov Avinu. It says by Yaakov Avinu that he's straight out, that his neshama is still alive and kicking. His neshama is still around. His body may be dead, but his neshama is still alive. That's what the pasuk's trying to tell you. Once it says it by Yaakov Avinu, it proves by all other tzaddikim that the same idea is true. That all other tzaddikim, also their neshamas remain alive. And we learn that from Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu Lomais teaches us that other tzaddikim don't die as well. Yeah.
Doesn't a tzaddik's body never deteriorate?
What does that have to do with this?
So if it doesn't deteriorate, then his body never died. So when he assumed that, he meant his body...
He's dead.
Yeah, but the body doesn't deteriorate.
I understand, but he's dead.
We're
saying he died. His body died.
But
we didn't say rot. We didn't say deteriorate. We said the body died. He's no longer moving. That's not him. He can't do that. That's dead. I don't know what your definition of death is. But if we're going to go with the Harvard Five, or at least the Tzitz Eliezer, regardless, that's death. The question is, what happened to his soul? So his soul was still alive, and that's what the Pasuk is arguing, that his soul was still alive, and that we know by all tzaddikim that tzaddikim are still alive. The idea of there being some type of Olam Haba. That's Rabbi Yitzchak over here. What? That their souls are still alive and kicking, meaning they have shaychus to this world. Yeah. The Rashbam, Perash HaGadol says, Perash HaGadol on that Gemara says, you can't argue him shot in the Pasuk. He definitely died. There's no question about that. But this other Pasuk teaches us that when a father has kids, that follow in his footsteps, the father never dies. So Yaakov, because his kids were rooted after him, because his kids acted like him, because his kids wanted to be like him, therefore Yaakov Avinu lives on forever. Yaakov Avinu lives through them. And that's the idea that Yaakov Avinu makes. Yaakov Avinu never died because his kids keep on living. Rav Schwab adds on that a father gives of his kokos to the child, whether it's DNA, spiritually, physically, somehow he gives of his kokos over to that child. That's why we're called, what are we called? B'nai
Adam.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm pretty sure we're called B'nai Yisrael. And we're called B'nai Yisrael on purpose because we're known as Yaakov Avinu's kids. We're not known as B'nai Avram. We're not known as B'nai Yitzchak. We're known as B'nai Yisrael. Because Yaakov, Avram Avinu had Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu had Esav. Yaakov Avinu only had us. So we're shaykh to the Father. And because we're shaykh to the Father, we're called Beis Yaakov. We're called B'nai Yisrael. We're shaykh to Him. Because Yaakov Avinu lives on. That's the idea. Similarly, the Nesivus, Nesivus HaMishpat, and Emes Liyakov, in his pshat in the Agadah, says, mace in the Torah can mean many different things. What could mace mean, aside from dead, in the Torah? Four other things that it could mean. It could also mean that you are?
Embarrassed.
What? No, not in the Torah.
Oh.
That's what they darshan, that a person's dead. No, you could be poor. You could have saras. You could be blind. And you could have no children. One of those four apply. Says the Nesivus, Rabbi Yitzchak was coming up with a massive chiddush. Here's the massive chiddush. He said, even if you have children, but your children are reshayim, you could still be called mace. You could still be called as if you died. You're for sure dead if you don't have any children. But you're also dead if you have children, but yet they are reshayim. Yaakov Avinu lo mace means his children were never reshayim. the Amech, Kulam Tzadikim, your people are all Tzadikim, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Olam Yerushua, to always have Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael, Yeshlam, Chelek, Lo Olam Haba. Every Jew is a Chelek in Olam Haba. There's no such thing as a Russia by the children of the Jews, by Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, Yaakovinu, Lomes. What does it mean? Yaakovinu never had children who were dead, which means he is still alive. That's the idea behind it. Rav Nachman thought he was trying to say something else, but that was the pshat behind Rabbi Yitzchok. That's one way of looking at it. That his body actually died. Yaakovinu Lomes means his body died. But Yaakovinu, the neshama of Yaakovinu is still alive. That's the idea behind it in three different ways. That's answer number one. Answer number two is a massive chiddush, the Chochmas Manoach. Chochmas Manoach is an achron in the back of the Gemara. He says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, Yaakovinu did die eventually, but he didn't die yet. When he left Mitzrayim, even though they prepared him for embalming, even though they gave him a hesped, he was in a comatose state. He didn't die yet when he was in Mitzrayim. When did he die? He died in Eretz Yisrael when he was buried in Maariv Machpelah. He died only when he got there. Because the pshat is, it's bad to die in Chutz Lars. Avram and Yitzchak Avinu, they were both dead in Chutz and Eretz Yisrael. Yaakovinu also wanted to die in Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakovinu Lomeis, Yaakovinu didn't die in Mitzrayim. Rather, where did he die? In Eretz Yisrael. There are two reasons why that pshat works. Two reasons. The number one reason why it works and why it's a great pshat is that, number one, Reb Yitzchak is gaining in this pshat as to the idea of what ended up happening. What was the idea? Hold on. I got to remember. Did I write it down? Rivka Aminu is one of them. And the other answer is because... the Gemara Sota. You'd give him a vase. Sota, you'd give him a vase. He opened up his eyes and he smiled, right? Well, now it makes sense. He wasn't dead. There's no problem with a live man doing that. He was comatose. But then when Esav's head got chopped off, what ended up happening? Yaakov Aminu was able to see it. He saw it and he smiled because he was still alive. And afterward, what happened? Then he died. Second shot. Here's the second shot. Rivka Yemenu said in Perakov Zayin Pasuk Memhei, he said, Loma Eshkal Gam Shnecham B'Yom Echad. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? He said, when Esav was chasing after Yaakovinu, he said, Yaakovinu, get out of here. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? I don't want you both to die, because you're both supposed to die, says Rashi. She had a nevuah. She knew that on the day that Yaakov dies, Esav is going to die as well. Hold on a second. When did Esav die? When Yaakovinu was being buried. That was 77 days after Yaakovinu died. 77 days. There were 40 days of embalming, 30 days of Avelus, and then 7 days in which they traveled by Goren HaTod, or at least 77 days. I don't know how much days they traveled, but Goren HaTod, they did an extra 7 days of mourning at Goren HaTod. 77 days later, that's when Esav died. But if he didn't die until he came to Eretz Yisrael, that means that they both died on the same day. There you go. Everybody else has to answer. Yeah, but when he was buried is when he's really dead. And therefore it says, if they both died in the same day, they have to get around it a little bit. But what Mike said, this answer, the Chochmas and all, takes care of all questions. Yes?
What did Yaakov smile when he saw Esav?
He understood that was exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. It wasn't sadistic. He understood that when the head of Esav rolled into Maariv Machpelah, he understood that there was something behind what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that the head deserved to be in Maariv Machpelah. The head, not the body. The body was disgusting, but the head deserved to be inside there, and therefore he gave it up. Yeah?
Doesn't it say they took out Yaakov's bones?
Yaakov's bones? No. Are you referring to Atzmos Yosef?
Yes.
Yeah, so no. So the answer to your question is no. That's the Chochmas Manoach. Number... Yes, Noah.
No, so that's why it doesn't say Vayamas. That's why it only says Vayamas.
That's what we're explaining. Yeah, 100%. Why it doesn't say Vayamas, because he never really died yet. Vayigva, Vayasav Lamav, and therefore Vayamas doesn't apply until much later on, and therefore that's why the brothers say, now we saw that Mesaviyam, because they saw that he actually died. The Ein Yaakov takes a totally different route. This is awesome, and this is a brand new type of answer. Okay, brand new type of answer. Getting into the little secrets of the Torah over here. Ksuvah's Kuf Gimel Menachem says that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi used to come back to his house every Friday night after he died. Every Friday night he would come back after he died. He would make Kiddush. The Gemara doesn't say it's from the Sefer HaChassidim. Rabbi Kiviger quotes the Sefer HaChassidim. He would make Kiddush for his household. He would stay there for a little bit, then he'd go back up to Shemayim. Every Friday night, until one day, a neighbor knocked on the door, and the Amstad Bei Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe's house, opened up the door and said, No, Rebbe's sitting at the table right now. You're going to have to be quiet. When Rebbe heard that it was getting out there, that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi was coming back to life after he had been dead, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi said, I don't want to come back. I'm not coming back anymore. Why? Says the Gemara, Shelo Lahotzi Laz al Tzadikim Rishonim. To not give a bad name for the original Tzadikim, because no other Tzadikim did this. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't want people to say, oh, Rebbe is greater than all those other tzaddikim. It's not true. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, any tzaddik can come back to life like that, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said. He said, the fact is, I want to come back. They didn't want to come back. But I don't want to be Motzi Laz. Says the Ein Yaakov, such an unbelievable pshat. Says, Yaakov was the greatest of the Avos. And he really did not die. He didn't. Physically. Did not die. He's still alive. But they made it look like he died. They pretended to embalm him. They pretended to eulogize him. They pretended to bury him. But it was all a trick. He never really died. He was alive the entire time. And he's still alive today. I have no idea if he was actually interred in Maariv Machpelah and he just has a table, a candle, whatever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of him inside Maariv Machpelah, or if he's walking around now. He's walking around. He's 100% alive. But we don't want to be Motzi Laz. Well, why isn't Avram Avinu alive? Why isn't Yitzchak Avinu alive? Therefore, we don't say anything about it. We don't want to say anything about it. But Yaakov is 100% alive. Said Rav Nachman to Rav Yitzchak, if it's a secret and the Pasuk's hiding it from us, why would you tell us this? Why would you bother telling us this? If it was a secret, why tell us? Said Rav Yitzchak, I wouldn't if there wasn't a Pasuk that I can darshan. There's another Pasuk that tells us that Yaakov is clearly alive. So what do I do with these psukim? Hiding it. That's what these psukim are doing. They're hiding it. But since there's another Pasuk that says it mefurish, that Yaakov is alive just like his children are alive, therefore I can darshan from there. That's what I can tell you. The Pasuk that he quoted from Yeshaya, the whole Da'atza al Tira of Yaakov, right? That you're going to be like your son. That was the Pasuk that he quoted in the Gemara in Tanis, Hayom Abeis. The Alshech and the Anaf Yosef say similarly, Yisrael died, but Yaakovinu never died. Here's the Pshat. There are five parts to your Neshama. As if we know what this means. The top idea behind the Neshama is supposed to be a Yechidah. The Yechidah is supposed to be named Yisrael. That was the highest level the Yaakovinu was supposed to be on. Yisrael died. The Yechidah went back up to Shemayim, but the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama stayed with Yaakov Avinu. The full Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama was with him together, and it stayed with them, that it never left forever. So that in, for all intents and purposes, Yaakov Avinu was 100% fully alive. Unlike Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei, Bava Menachem, that also seems to be alive even after he died. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, who came back to life, they had their Nefesh, but they didn't have their Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Yaakov Avinu, Lo Meis, means he had his Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama with him. He had everything with his goof. He was 100% alive. How do you embalm him? How do you embalm a person who's alive? How do you embalm a person who's dead? Well, how does that work? First, let's go with the live part. Here's the idea. The Egyptian way of mummification was the following. Nobody's eating right now, right? I was doing this during shallots during lunch today, and I realized people were eating. And I was like, ooh, this is not the part that I should be saying out loud. I stopped most of it. But here's the real way of Egyptian mummification. First thing you did is you took a lot of oil. You rubbed it all over the body to get rid of the rigor mortis. You know, the stiffening of all the skin. Take the oil and you rub it all down so that the skin is somewhat smooth and everything. You slit the body down. Then you take out all the innards. All the innards. Every single thing. You wash them out. You clean them out. And then you take out all the garbage from them because your stomach has some stuff in there. Your intestines, large, small intestines, they wipe off everything. Then either they put them back inside or they don't put them back inside, but they fill you up with spices. All these different types of spices, arsenic and all these different types of things, they pour it inside your body all over the place. And then they sew it back up, put your body out into the sun so that the sun hardens. And then they wrap it up in bandages so that they keep the body from being affected by the outside elements. Yaros Devash, Mechelet Beis, Drush Zion, says the reason why the Egyptians did this was to be Dorish El Mason. They wanted to speak with the dead. And they knew that when the Nefesh is still connected to the body, the Nefesh can still be contacted. And you could speak to the dead. The Great Pyramid in Giza had a huge area for people to go in and to pray to their dead that were buried in the Pyramid of Giza. They can't find the dead that are in the Pyramid of Giza, but that's what it was there for. It was there to be able to speak to the dead because all the nefashos were still there. Because until the body rots, the nefesh stays with the body. So if you embalm the guy and you make sure that he doesn't rot, that means that he'll never go up to Shamayim. and the nefesh stays down. Because of this process, the nefesh stays forever. He explains that's the power of the curse of the pharaohs. That's why the pharaohs have a power to be able to destroy people around them. Because their nefesh is still with them. The nefesh is still around. He brought a whole case with a boat that brought 300 mummies away from Mitzrayim and was traveling in the sea. And the whole boat sank and only one person survived. This guy by the name of Johan. And like he was the only one that survived. And the mummies, he said the mummies were fighting them. Such a crazy little story. Such a crazy little story. Yosef knew about this chokmah. Yosef knew about this wisdom. And he realized it could be utilized for the good of Klal Yisrael if he did it on Yaakov Avinu. He could use it for Klal Yisrael and it would be used well. How? Yosef asked them to mummify Yaakov Avinu so that he wouldn't rot. So that his nefesh would remain. It would be Yaakov Avinu lo meis. So he would never rot. His nefesh would be with him. And that would be the idea behind him. And that way, he'd be connected to the Jews. And we could ask Yaakov Avinu to daven for us. Because when a person goes up to Shemayim and sees the master plan, he says to us, this is the best thing for you. Don't worry. Everything's all good. This is the best thing that you could possibly have happened to you. But if Yaakov Avinu is down here with us, then he doesn't think it's the best thing for us. Which means he'll be able to daven for us. Which means we can say, Yaakov Avinu, please help us daven. Please help us daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and let everything be okay. We can ask him to be able to help us. That's the pshat. Said Rav Nachman, I don't understand. You needed that for Yaakov Avinu not to rot? All tzaddikim don't rot. All tzaddikim don't have their bodies rot. Why would you need this? We know that anyway tzaddikim don't rot. What would be the point of doing such a thing? The nefesh is always connected to the guf by tzaddikim. So what would be the point of doing such a thing? So he said, you think it was just for no reason at all that they embalmed him? Anyway he would have been alive. Anyway he would have been fine and he would have davened for us. Said Yosef Tzaddik, you don't understand. Regular tzaddikim, they connect with tzaddikim. They connect, if a tzaddik asks them to daven for them, they connect with the tzaddikim of this world. But they have no shaykhis to rishayim in this world. Said Yosef HaTzaddik, I want Yaakov Avinu to be available, not only for tzaddikim, but even for the rishayim. How do I do that? I make him more than just a regular tzaddik. What do? I embalm him. I make him a mummy. By making him a mummy, he never rots. By making him never rot, that means his nefesh stays with the body. That means that any person can invoke Yaakov Avinu in his prayers for us because he truly is alive and he's able to be here at all time. Yosef wanted Yaakov available for all Rishayim for all time. You should know, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh holds that it was a massive mistake, and only the Or HaChaim HaKadosh could say this, that it was a massive mistake of Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik was punished. He died early because he was in Avelus. And he wasn't able to utilize his Ruach HaKodesh, and he made a mistake in asking Yaakov Avinu to be embalmed as a mummy. But Lamaisa, it was the wrong decision, but it was done. And that's what he did. But the Yaros Tavash holds that that was the best thing for Klal Yisrael. And now Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis means he's with us, and he can daven for us, and he has Sheikhus to us. That's the idea behind it. Yes?
If that's the reason why the Egyptians embalm people, why did they embalm like snakes and dogs?
Why wouldn't they want to connect with the nefashos of an animal?
You can't pray to an animal. I mean, they did to the sheep and stuff, but they didn't pray to the snakes.
However, there's a tremendous chassam sofer in Judah. It's just wrong. It's not true. He quotes the Noda Biyuda, Yoredea Simin Reish Yud. Noda Biyuda Simin Reish Yud says, there was a patient with kidney stones. The guy was on the operating table. And as he was on the operating table, they started slicing up his body to try to get to the kidney stones, to take out the kidney stones. They messed up entirely. They cut too much. And the guy died. Now they had Akasha. Sent it over to the Noda Biyuda. Can we go back inside and do a little bit of an autopsy? Check out what the kidney stones are like so that in the future we'll know how to heal kidney stones. We'll know what to do when it comes to kidney stones. Are we allowed to do that or are we not allowed to do that? So it's for a medical condition. It's for us. We're trying to do it for the future. Are we allowed to do it or not? Are we allowed to do autopsies to help people in the future? So he said, Noda Biyuda said, some matter and some aser. He says, the ones that matter, learn it out from the embalming of Yaakov Avinu. That if it's a kavod for the mace, even though there's an autopsy involved, that you're taking out his innards and cleaning them out and doing everything, if it's an autopsy for the mace and it's a kavod, you do it. And that's what Yosef HaTzaddik held. And therefore over here it's a kavod for the mace that his body is being utilized to be able to save other people, and therefore you should go ahead and do it. There's a Ben Ish Chaim, Pesachim Daf Mem Testament Aleph, in the Ben Yo Yada. In the Ben Yo Yada, he says a tremendous vort about what it means by Ama Aretz, that you're allowed to slice him up like a fish. So then Ama Aretz, who has nothing to do with this world, you're allowed to go do an autopsy on him, because at least at the end of his life, he'll be able to be utilized for science. It's a massive chiddush of the Ben Ish Chai, that an autopsy would be mutter by such a person. Regardless, those are the people that matter. They prove it from Yaakovin over here. Noda Yehuda says, between the two, I hold it should be Usser. However, I only hold it's Usser if there's no Chola Bifaneinu. If there's a person who's dying right here in front of us, and his mom is dying right here in front of us, and you could save that guy if you cut open the other guy, then it's possible that you'd be able to cut open that guy in order to save that other guy. That's the diuk they make from the Noda Yehuda. A lot of these things, when it comes to heart transplants, or these types of transplants, deal with this type of Noda Yehuda. Are you allowed to take away from somebody else in order to save somebody that's right here in front of us, that's dying right here in front of us? It's mamash an unbelievable Noda Yehuda. That's what the Noda Yehuda says. The Chassam Sofer brings up that Noda Yehuda in his Tshuvas, Simen Shin Lamed Vav in Yoredeya. Listen to what he says. He says, but the Zohar says, Chas v'shalom, that Yaakov Avinu was ever sliced open, that Yaakov Avinu even lost a bit of his body. Yaakov Avinu never lost a bit. They did not do an autopsy. They never opened him up whatsoever. So what happened? Here's the idea, says the Chassam Sofer. After death, and they never looked this up. I'm not positive this is correct. I know the first part. I don't know about the second part. After a person dies, their esophagus closes up. So meaning, they have no ability to swallow after a person dies. You can't pour water down the person's throat. It won't go anywhere. Because the esophagus is all closed up. There's nothing that can go down to the stomach. However, when you're a baby in your mother's womb, there was another way for you to get food. How did you get food? Through your belly button. Says the Chassam Sofer, after death, a hole the size of a pin appears in your belly button. And the Egyptians knew that. And after Yaakov Avinu died, they injected Bissamim inside his stomach through the belly button. And they did not do it through the mouth, and they didn't open up his body. But what does that help? He still has Tsoa in his small intestines, the large intestines, in the stomach. You got to get rid of all that stuff. So what are you going to do with that? What about the kidneys? How are you going to clean out the entire body? He's going to rot because of those things. Says the Chassam Sofer an unbelievable chiddush. Remember the question I started off with? What does the word Vayigva mean? There's Ramban in Parshas Chayisara. It says Vayigva means a stomach ailment that cleans out your entire body before you die. Tzaddikim get this gevia, this chole me'ayim before they die, so that their body has no dirtiness inside them after they die, so that they're completely free of any excrement or any disgusting things that are inside their body. It's all gone. Yaakov Avinu had that, which means he wasn't going to rot, which means they didn't have to take out the innards and clean them out. They were already clean. All they had to do was inject the besamim. They did that through the hole in his belly button, and then everything was all good. Unbelievable chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. So they never did anything bad to him. It wasn't real embalming, and that was mutter. However, he says, Yosef HaTzadik did get the regular embalming. They took out his innards, they cleaned them out, and then they put it back in, because it doesn't say the word Vayigva by Yosef HaTzadik. And that's why he was known as Atzmos Yosef. He was only the bones of Yosef, not because he rotted, Chasham, to say that Yosef HaTzadik rotted, but rather because he was bones in the fact that he was not a full body, because the things were taken out and the things were cut out and then put back inside him. And that's the reason why he was called Atzmos Yosef, the big chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. I'm going to end with that right now. You should just know, if you want to see a very cool Ramban, you can check out the Ramban at the end of the parsha. Basically, we went through three drachim. Either Yaakov Avinu Lomeis means his nefesh never died, but his body did. Or it meant in Egypt he never died, but he died later on. Or his nefesh and his guf never died, so that the nefesh could still be connected to his guf. And we had a couple different shots regarding that. Guys, that's it. Have a good Shabbos.